على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Before starting the majlis, I would like to request Surah Fatiha for Sister Samina Hassan. صلى على محمد وذلا صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل ما صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل الفرج. بسم الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله. صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آل بيتك المظلومين. لعل الله الظالمين لكم من الأولين والآخرين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله. صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله. ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمنا من التجأ إليكم. فيا ليتنا كنا معكم فنفوز فوزا عظيما. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاده الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين سلام على الحوراء ما بقي الدهر وما أشرقت الشمس وما طلع البدر سلام على القلب الكبير وصبرهما قد جرت حزنا له أدمع الجمر Peace be upon the angelic Hawra Zainab till the end of time. And as long as the sun rises and the moon shines. Peace be upon her great heart and her patience, for which red tears flow in grief. For what do they grieve? For what happened in Karbala? And her eye was seeing that for which rocks melt. She saw the body of Hussein, but how, with his limbs scattered around his body? But she bore patience greater than patience itself. She saw him and called out to him, O son of my mother and father, for you martyrdom has been decreed, and for me patience has been decreed. She tells her brother, Oh brother, surely there is sorrow in my heart which I cannot bear. And from bearing it, my soul is in agony. It is very difficult for me to be besmirched with the enemies. While you remain in the valley of Taf Karbala, as the heat of the sun scorches your body. Oh brother, if my body leaves Karbala, surely my heart remains in Karbala with you. My heart in Karbala will reside till the end of my days, my brother Hussein. And none other than your tragedy. No tragedy is as difficult as your tragedy, oh brother Hussein. Oh my brother, to me you were a consolation in my loss of my grandfather and my father, my mother and my poison brother Al-Hassan. But when you left me, they all left me alone as well. For your loss is a wound that cannot heal. She says, oh brother, after being covered and protected, today I have become a woman without a protector. And now I am taken captive. But how, with your head looking at me in front of me, rise on a high spear, O Hussein? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل بيت محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون. قال الله عز وجل في محكم كتابه العزيز، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قالوا حرقوه وانصروا آلهتكم إن كنتم فاعلين. قلنا يا نار كوني بردا وسلاما على إبراهيم. To hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. In continuing the discussion for this final night, first of all, I would like to thank the community for its warm welcome. I would like to thank the organizers, the trustees, for this honor of letting me be at your service and the service of the member of Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. In continuing the topic that we had started, in which we wanted to look at the rank of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And at those qualities and those traits and those spiritual and metaphysical realities that he had inherited from his predecessors and his forefathers. And we were talking about Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we were looking at his life and those trials that he was inflicted with, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was also inflicted with. We had reached to talk about four of those kalimat, four of those trials. And the order that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was faced them with were, number one, he had to confront the polytheists, the idol worshippers, and thereat he confronted them by breaking all of their idols, save the big one, in Babylon. Following that, he was cast into the fire of Nimrud in Babylon again. After that, he migrated to Allah Azza wa Jal. The first leg of his migration was from Iraq, Babylon, to Palestine, to Al-Khalil. Following that, Ibrahim alayhi salam, after he was blessed with Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, he was to migrate to Mecca and to settle his family over there and to leave them under the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this was his second test, to be seen that does he have tawakkul on the creator of creators and the provider of sustenance, or will he not trust in Allah Azza wa Jal in leaving his family over there. His final test was the test of Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, when Allah Azza wa Jal revealed unto him through his dream that he had to slay him and slaughter him. And this is what we were talking about yesterday. So let me just remind our dear brothers and sisters and those who were not here. We had talked about this hijrah of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam from Palestine to Mecca. And we said that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also had the similar hijrah from Medina to Mecca. However, there was the difference that after that, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in his second leg, he went from Mecca to Karbala. Even though he traveled to an area where there was the river Euphrates, however, his Karbala was different to the Mecca of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the sense that over there, Allah Azza wa Jal, with the miracle, he let the fountain of Zamzam appear under the feet of Ismail alayhi salam, whereas Imam Hussein alayhi salam's Mecca, which was the Karbala, the last 3 days they were deprived of water, and after that the battle of Karbala happened. Number two, we talked about the slaughter of Ismail alayhi salam as well in a little bit more detail, and we similarized the slaughter of Ibrahim alayhi salam to the slaughter of Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam. And that this was a test from Allah Azza wa Jalla in order to see that what Ibrahim alayhi salam do. That is to say, after Allah gave Ibrahim alayhi salam his child at a really old age, according to some narrations, Ibrahim alayhi salam was around his 100, and his wife was old as well. But Allah Azza wa Jalla willed that he should have this child. So even after having a child at a grand age, now Allah wanted to test him to see that, do you deserve a higher spiritual rank? That is to say, are you more attached to your son, or are you more attached to me and my order and my will and my pleasure? At that, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he submitted to the will of Allah, and so did his son, Ismail. We talked about the dhabh al-azim, that is to say, the grand ransom or grand sacrifice. That is to say, that when Allah Azza wa Jal saw that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he fulfilled that which he saw in his vision, Allah blessed him and he sacrificed Ismail alayhi salam, he sacrificed or ransomed him with a ram or a sheep, which Jibreel alayhi salam brought. Now at that, there was a difference in narrations, that is to say, either immediately Ibrahim, Jibreel alayhi salam put in the stead or in the place of Ismail that sheep, that is to say, Ibrahim had started to run the knife, but all of a sudden he found that the blood started to gush from the sheep. Or on another instant, it is said that the sheep was brought and thereafter he slaughtered it. But there happened, there was wahi in between. There was revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal unto Ibrahim during that time. We stopped at the word dhibh al-azim a little bit in order to see that this dhibh al-azim, this grand sacrifice, and in the end Allah Azza wa Jal, all he sent was a sheep. I mean, how can a sheep be a grand sheep? I mean, how can it be a grand sacrifice? In the end, a sheep is a sheep, right? Even though this sheep was special in the sense that it was created by Allah immediately without having a mother or a father. Okay? However, I mean, how can it be great in the end? It is an animal. In the ta'wil of this ayah in the book Uyun Akhbar al-Rida alayhi salam, it is narrated from Imam al-Rida alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. That the dhabh al-azim was in fact the son of the Holy Prophet, who is Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. We talked about Ali al-Akbar thereafter, the Ismail of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. We see that in the Holy Quran, when Allah Azza wa Jal gave glad tidings to Ibrahim alayhi salam concerning the child that he was to have, he was to beget, Allah Azza wa Jal uses the word فَبَشَّرْنَهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ, that is to say, we gave him glad tidings of a forbearing and patient youth. We see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam also, in his hadith, after Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam is given permission, or he's asking permission, at that point, Imam Hussein alayhi salam raises his hand and he looks at the sky. O Allah, bear witness, فَقَدْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ غُلَامٌ وَأَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلُقًا وَمَنْطِقًا بِرَسُولِ بِرَسُولِكَ. So, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, bear witness that a youth has appeared, he is going in front of them to fight them, who is the most resembling of people to your Prophet in terms of, number one, the way he looks, and his looks and his features and his bodily features, number two, in his traits, in his akhlaq, in his manners, and number three, in his way of thinking. So we find that there is a similarity between Ismail and Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam over here as well. That is to say that Ismail was forbearing, he was patient, whereas Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam, he also had the sifat and the qualities of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Of course, the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, though, as I put and I mentioned in the end of yesterday's lecture, was grander, it was more difficult, whereby Ismail alayhi salam, he remained alive until the end of his life, though Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam, he was martyred before his father. So again, as we look to the traits that the Imam has inherited from the other, from his predecessors, we find that always there is an angle that has made his side or that which he has inherited a little bit more. Now, after that, we had the bala of, as we are following from yesterday, we're trying to follow the tartib or the sequence of the events that happened with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So Imam Hussein, number one, he started by breaking the idol of his time, was Yazid, by announcing that we are not going to give bayah to this person because this person is, 1, 2, 3, corrupt, drinker of wine, kills innocent people, and me, I can, and the likes of me cannot give bayah to the likes of him. And that's when the revolution and the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam started. So that was number one. This is similar to Ibrahim alayhi salam. But Ibrahim was thrown into the fire in the second instant, or the second bala. Whereas Imam Hussein alayhi salam, no, he migrated. He started to migrate from Medina to Mecca, and from Mecca he went to Karbala. Number three, the final test of Ismail, of Ibrahim alayhi salam, was to slaughter Nabi Ismail. However, the third thing that happened with Imam Hussein alayhi salam was what was his sacrifice of Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam, which was in front of him. And his final trial, which is the second trial of Ibrahim alayhi salam, his final trial was that fire, which you can consider as to be the battlefield. At that, we go to today's discussion. And let me translate those two verses. Let us look what happened with Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then we come to compare that to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the verse that I quoted, what happened after he destroyed those idols of his people is that they came to him. They asked, who is it who did this? In the end, that happened. And Ibrahim alayhi salam told them, okay, go ask the big idol then. At that point, they understood that these idols, they don't speak, they can't do anything. We have to protect them. They are not God. But regardless, they remained defending the beliefs of their forefathers. They did not want to change. They were oppressive in this nature. And as a result, what do they say? They said, burn him and help your gods if you want to do anything about this. We said, and thereafter Allah Azza wa Jal, he interfered. We said, O fire, be cool and pleasant for Ibrahim alayhi salam. At that point, what happened? It is said that when these people took this decision to burn Ibrahim alayhi salam, they built such a great fire, and they built a kind of post so that Namrud la'natullah alayhi could see from above it how Ibrahim alayhi salam was burning. However, they made the fire so grand, and they used so much wood that no one could come near it. So if they were to just throw, to just send Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the end he's not going to go over there, and they're not going to follow him, otherwise their soldiers are going to be burned. So they had to find a way. According to some of our narrations, it is mentioned that during this time, Iblis al-La'in, he came in the form of a man, and he gave them the suggestion that make a catapult, and he taught them how to make the catapult. So, after teaching them how to build this catapult, they put Ibrahim alayhi salam on it, and they wanted to throw him into the fire. Similar to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, what happened? Ibn Sa'd al-La'in said, "Uqtul al-Hussein, kill Hussein." This is what happened to our Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Sallallahu alayhi Muhammad wa alayhi Muhammad. That kill him. So they took a similar decision. Going back to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam, according to some narrations, as he was put on the catapult, and according to other narrations, after being thrown and when he was in the air. So when he was flying in the air, towards the fire. This is what happens. According to some of our narrations, what happened during that time was that either Jibreel alayhi salam came to him by himself. According to other narrations, no, it was not only Jibreel alayhi salam. No, it was Jibreel, it was Mikael, then the angel of winds and the angel of rain. All of them, they came to him. They told Ibrahim alayhi salam that if you want assistance, asks and you shall receive. However, there are many terms or many sentences or phrasings of what Ibrahim alayhi salam said. One of the phrasing, and all of them come in the same meaning, that علمه بحالي كافٍ عن مقالي. Okay? That is to say, Allah's knowledge of my situation right now is enough, and He does not need me to ask Him for Him to help me. He does not need me to ask Him. And this, according to other phrasings, He said about حسبي الله. He used this term, حسبي الله. Now, let us just go into this discussion philosophically a little bit, so that we can understand that which is going to come in this discussion. Fire, it burns. The sun shines. Everything, or every cause, it has an effect. However, this in philosophy depends on three factors. The first factor is what we call al-muqtadi. That is to say if I were to explain it, the exact translation, I cannot bring it to my mind, but something that drives it, or the drive, or that which something... Al-muqtadi, it means the determinator of something. For instance, fire, it is innate in it that it burns, that it has heat. So this is a quality that Allah Azza wa Jal put into fire. It's innate in it. He built it this way. It's in its nature. This is called muqtadi. Number two, for fire to burn, there has to be a condition. The foundation has to be there. What are these conditions? One of the conditions, or the main condition, is you have to have oxygen. Correct or not, you have to have oxygen. If you don't have oxygen, the fire is not going to burn. So you have to have that oxygen. Number three, there should not be any preventing factor. If there is rain or there is water, however much fire you bring to a log or a piece of wood, it's not going to burn. It's not going to kindle. Correct? Now, when Allah Azza wa Jal told this fire, after Ibrahim alayhi salam said that I will only do tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jal, and I will come to mention a narration about this tawakkul when Jibreel alayhi salam came to speak to him. How did this happen? What happened, or how did Allah Azza wa Jal make this fire cold and pleasant for Ibrahim alayhi salam? Let us look at this narration, and maybe we can understand one of the answers from it. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was either in the air or when he was put in the catapult, some of our narrations, they mention that Ibrahim, to him Jibreel comes and he asks him, "Oh Ibrahim, ya Ibrahim, hal laka haja? Hal laka ilayya min haja? Do you have anything that you want from me? Can I be of assistance to you?" Ibrahim alayhi salam says, "Amma ilayka fala, from you I don't want anything. Wa amma ila rabbil alameen fana'am, yes, but from Allah Azza wa Jal, the Lord of the worlds, I want something." Fadafa ilayhi khataman maktubun alayhi, then he gave him a ring. Maktubun alayhi, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. That there is no God but Allah, that Muhammad is his prophet. Al-ja'tu dhahri ila Allah, I've turned my back and in trying to seek support from Allah Azza wa Jal. Wa asnadtu amri ila Allah, I have given my affair to Allah Azza wa Jal, He will take care of me. Wa fawwadtu amri ilay, fa awha Allah Azza wa Jal ila an-nar. At that point, after Ibrahim alayhi salam said this dua, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says this, kuni bardan wa salama. Okay, now in this narration, actually it explains a little bit more. It says, in the beginning, Allah Azza wa Jal says, kuni bardan, that is to say, become cold. Now when it became cold, it was so cold for Ibrahim alayhi salam that he started to shiver, his teeth started to shake. At that point, in this narration, it says, كوني باردا فاضطربت أسنان إبراهيم من البرد حتى قال الله عز وجل حتى قال وسلاما على إبراهيم and pleasant for Ibrahim عليه السلام. So if, I mean, anyone can think that, why does Allah Azza wa Jalla, why does He use these two words? Bardan wa salama, cold and pleasant, it's because of the fact that Allah wanted to make it the environment inside the fire in such a way that he would be extremely comfortable, that he would not be affected. According to some narrations, it is mentioned that he remained in the fire for days. For many days, that fire remained on kindling. So, the atmosphere had to be suitable for him in order for the mu'jiza, for the miracle, to be at its prime, to be as clear as possible, so that everyone could see that he is a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal and what he is saying is true. Now, this narration, of course, is mentioned by Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam in Al-Kafi, Volume 1. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Page number 318, according to some of the prints. So over here, how did Allah Azza wa Jal make this happen? Did He change the nature of the fire, the muqtadi? Or did He bring or remove the shart, that is to say that air was not present there anymore? No, air was present. Air was present because He was able to breathe. And the fire continued as well. So that means that the air was present. Ya naru kuni bardan wa salama. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salama. That is to say, it was still a fire. Its nature did not change. Otherwise, another name would have to be used. So when we say fire, we mean fire, like any fire. So the muqtadi was there. The shart and the condition was there as well. But what about the preventing factor? Al-mana. This is according to some narrations where Allah Azza wa Jal interfered. He intervened. According to some narrations, like this narration in Kitab al-Kafi, Ibrahim alayhi salam was given a ring that protected him. According to other narrations, that this is something that I've mentioned before, is that he was given a shirt. Ibrahim alayhi salam was given by Jibra'il. He brought a shirt for him from Jannah. And this same shirt is something that is inherited and it reached Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. It was the exact same shirt that was given back by his brother, who took it back to Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, who had become blind, so that when he would be rubbed by that shirt on his face, his eyesight would come back. So, according to some narrations, it was this shirt. This then is what it seems, according to narrations, how Allah Azza wa Jalla made that fire cold and pleasant for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay, Mawlana, you mentioned the fire of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and you said that the fire of the Imam was what? The battlefield, was the battle of Karbala. But we don't find that fire became cold for the Imam alayhi salam. Or did it? According to some narrations, or before talking about this fire, actually, there is one point I would like to add. It is that when he was being thrown into the fire, Ibrahim, to him, the malaika came, correct or not? However, did the Imam also have something similar? Yes. Sheikh al-Mufid, radhiyallahu alayhi, mentions in the book, Mawlid al-Nabi, or Mawlid al-Awsiya, from our sixth Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He says, and this is mentioned also in the book Al-Malhuf as well. Al-Malhuf, the book of Al-Malhuf fi Qatl al-Tufuf by Sheikh al-Mufid, which is one of the very, very first maqatil written. So Sheikh al-Mufid, who was actually, by the way, the first marja during the Ghaiba, Ghaiba al-Kubra. So he says, narrating from our sixth Imam, the Imam says, لما سار أبو عبد الله الحسين عليه السلام من مكة ليدخل المدينة. When the Imam marched in order to, and he was traveling from Medina to Mecca, or when he was traveling from Medina to Mecca over here, maybe I've quoted it, I've taken it from the source a little bit mistakenly. However, لَقِيَهُ, when he reached Mecca, during that area, he was going to Mecca, لَقِيَهُ أَفْوَاجٌ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ الْمُسَوِّمِينَ الْمُرْدِفِينَ. That is to say, bands and groups and phalanges of angels, host after host, all of them very, very distinctively dressed, showing that they were soldiers, they were warriors. So these angels, they came to the Imam, and in them they had their weapons and they had their spears. So they came to the Imam and they said salam to the Imam. وَقَالُوا يَا حُجَّةَ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ بَعْدَ جَدِّهِ وَأَبِهِ وَأَخِيهِ. All the proof of Allah Azza wa Jal over the creation and over people after the Prophet and his father and his brother. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَمَدَّ جَدَّكَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. اللهم صل على محمد. بنا في مواطن كثيرة وإن الله أمدك بنا. That is to say, Allah Azza wa Jal, he supported and aided your grandfather by us in many different occasions, and now he has sent us to you as well. At that, the Imam, what does he say? الموعد حفرتي. That in the end, my appointment or the last stage where I'm going to go is my grave. وَبُقَعَةِ الَّتِي أُسْتَشْهَدُ فِيهَا. And in that place, spot which I am going to be martyred in. وَهِيَ كَرْبَلَا فَإِذَا وَرَدْتُهَا فَأْتُونِي. And that is Karbala. So if I come there, when I reach there, then come to me. Then they say, يَا حُجَّةَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا أَن نَسْمَعَ لَكَ وَنُطِيعَ. All the proof of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered us to listen and to obey you. فَهَلْ تَخْشَ مِنْ عَدُوٍ يَلْقَغَ فَنَكُونَ مَعَكَ. Then are you afraid of any enemy who is going to come and meet you so that we can be with you? And in facing that enemy, the Imam says, now during this time when he was going from Medina to Mecca, he says, لَا سَبِيلَ لَهُمْ عَلَيَّ وَلَا يَلْقَوْنِي بِكَرِيهَا إِلَىٰ أَوْ أَصِلْ إِلَىٰ بُقْعَتِي. That is to say, they won't be able to do anything to me until I reach my spot, which is Karbala. And truly, they weren't able to do anything to the Imam until the Imam reached Karbala. He was protected. وَأَتَتْهُ أَفْوَاجٌ مِنْ مُؤْمِنِينَ الْجِنِ. And jinn as well, they came to the Imam. Mu'mineen of jinn, Shias from the jinn. What do they say? يَا مَوْلَانَا نَحْنُ شِيَعَتُكَ وَأَنصَارُكَ فَمُرْنَا بِمَا تَشَاءُ. We are your Shias and your supporters, so order us whatever you want, we will fulfill that. فَلَوْ أَمَرْتَنَا بِقَتْلِ كُلِّ عَدُوٍ لَكْ وَأَنْتَ بِمَكَانِكَ لَكَفَيْنَاكَ ذَلِكَ. That is to say, if you were to order us to kill every single enemy of yours, even when you stand here, we will kill all of them for you. فَجَزَاهُمْ خَيْرًا. So, may Allah Azza wa Jal give them this reward. The Imam tells them that may Allah Azza wa Jal give them reward. The Imam says, أَمَا قَرَأْتُمْ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ الْمُنْزَلِ عَلَىٰ جَدِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰهِ وَآلِهِ. اللهم صلى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. O jinn kind who have come, have you not read from the book the following verse that was revealed unto my grandfather the Prophet, which is the verse, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَىٰ مَضَاجِعِهِمْ. That is to say that even if you were in your houses, those people for whom death has been decreed, they would come out to their resting places. فَإِذَا أَقَمْتُ فِي مَكَانِي. So if, O jinn kind, me, Imam, if I remain in my area, in my place, in Medina or anywhere else, and I let you do this, فَبِمَا يُمْتَحَنْ هَذَا الْخَلْقَ الْمَتْعُوسِ. That is to say, this creation, this ummah, these people, what are they going to be tried by? When they have to come to support me and to support my message, that is when they are going to be tried. That is when they are going to wake up. However, if I let everything happen by miracle, they are going to remain astray and not understand what the true message of the Prophet was. What imama is, what wilaya is, who we are, what our position the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is. وَبِمَاذَا يُخْتَبَرُونَ وَمَنْ ذَا سَيَكُونَ أَوْ يَكُونَ سَاكِنَ حُفْرَتِي. And if that were to happen, then who is going to come to stay in or rest in my burial place? However, وَقَدْ اخْتَارَهَا اللَّهُ لِي تَعَالَى. حين دحل أو يوم دحل الأرض. That is to say, وقد اختار الله تعالى, when Allah Azza wa Jal chose that spot for me from the day of دحو الأرض, from when Allah Azza wa Jal first spread the earth, from that day it was chosen for me. And we know the age of the, according to what scientists say, that the age of the earth itself is at least 4 billion years old. So from the beginning, from when it was first created, this has been chosen for the Imam alayhi salam. وَجَعَلَهَا مَعْقِلًا لِشِيعَتِنَا وَمُحِبِّينَا. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made Karbala a base for our Shias and for those people who love us. تُقْبَلُ أَعْمَالُهُمْ صَلَوَاتُ وَصَلَوَاتُهُمْ, and their amal and their sawat, etc., is accepted over him. But come to me on the day of Ashura. I want to just skip some of them, some of the parts, and I come to that final part. فَقَالَتَ الْجِنُّ. The jinn said, after listening to what the Imam was saying, that leave me, let me be and meet my fate. The Imam is told by the jinn, نَحْنُ وَاللَّهِ يَا حَبِيبَ اللَّهُ وَابْنَ حَبِيبِ لولا أن أمرك طاعة وأنه لا يجوز لنا مخالفتك لخالفناك وقتلنا جميع أعدائك قبل أن يصلوا إليك. That is to say, O Imam, O the beloved of Allah and the son of the beloved, if your obedience, your ta'a, it was not wajib for us, we would have disobeyed you even if you told us, and we would have killed all of your enemies. So the Imam, even from jinnkind, from mankind, he had true Shias. But from us, the problem was from us, humans. At that point, the Imam responds to them, وَنَحْنُ وَاللَّهِ أَقْدَرْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لِيَهْلَكَ مَنْ يَهْلَكْ عَنْ بَيِّنَ وَيَحْيَ مَنْ يَحْيَ عَنْ بَيِّنَ. That is to say, we Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, who have wilaya takwiniya, the existential authority of Allah Azza wa Jal over all of creation, we have that authority to tell something to be and it will become. We have more power than you, O jinn, to kill all of them by just saying and telling them, die and they will die. We have that. However, it is not that what we want. Let he who will die after having seen the proof, die after seeing the proof, and let him who will live after seeing the proof, live in such a way. Let them act accordingly after seeing their proof, the hujjah of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the bayyinah. Now, at this point, there's something that we find. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he used the word hasbi Allah o ilmuhu bihali kafir an maqali. That is to say, I turn and I rely on Allah Azza wa Jalla. Whereas the Imam, what does he use? Let us see what the Imam uses, and thereafter we can compare. The Imam alayhi salam, he says, صَبْرًا عَلَىٰ قَضَائِكَ يَا رَبِّ. لا إله سواك يا غياث المستغيثين ما لي رب سواك أحكم بيني وبينهم. The end of the dua. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. O Allah Azza wa Jal, I bear patience with regards to your qada, your decree, your divine decree. Whatever you want to happen to do with me, do. I have no problem. Whatever you want. This in Irfan al-Nadhari is either referred to Maqam al-Tafweed, Maqam al-Rida. That is to say, Imam Hussain alayhi salam had reached the final station, which is called Maqam al-Ridan, al-Ridan or Rida. That is to say, to be satisfied with whatever Allah does with you. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, during this time, during this instant, he was in another lesser level, which is the level of tawakkul. In tawakkul, you rely on Allah Azza wa Jal, but what? To do something for you that you want. Whereas in Maqam al-Ridha, you want whatever Allah wants for you. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jal wants for you, you say that you are satisfied, because Allah Azza wa Jal, whatever He does for you, there is some good in it, there is maslaha in it, there is a satisfaction of Allah, and Allah never does anything that is unjust, does not ever do anything that is wrong. As we said, He is salam. Whatever He does, He does not have any defects. So the Imam's rank, thereat is higher. The Mawlana, you said and you asked about the question of the fire itself. Did the fire or the fire of the Imam become salam for him, bard and salam? This is the answer. It is said and it is narrated in different books like Ilal al-Sharaya, Bihar al-Anwar, that our Imam alayhi salam on that day of Karbala, when he wanted to honor and to thank his ashab and companions for the support that they were offering him, he did the following. Number one, according to the narration that is narrated from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the father of Amara, one of the narrators, Abu Amara, he asks the Imam, أخبرني عن أصحاب الحسين عليه السلام وإقدامهم على الموت. O Imam, inform me about the Ashab of Imam Hussein عليه السلام and how they were disbarging, going and fighting, going to death, not caring. How did that happen? They were so brave. One of the reasons is this following. Imam عليه السلام responds, إنهم كشف لهم الغطاء حتى رأوا منازلهم من الجنة. That is to say, the veil from the world of the unseen, it was lifted from their eyes until they saw their places, their lodgings in Jannah, that place, those places that they were going to go to. فكان الرجل منهم يقدم على القتل. So a single one of them, when they would go, in such a way that they were longing to meet their spouses over there, that their wives in Jannah. ليبادر إلى حوراء يعانقها وإلى مكانه من الجنة and his place in Jannah. He was happy. He didn't give a care about this world after having seen that, which was also a blessing for them, a gift from the Imam, to show them that if you are martyred in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla and supporting Ahlul Bayt, this is one of the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you. So they were happy with that. That's number one. Number two is what I want to quote. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, that the Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, he told his ashab before being martyred, before they were martyred as well, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ قَالَ لِي يَا بُنَيْ. He tells me, O my son, إِنَّكَ سَتُسَاقُ إِلَى الْعِرَاقِ, that you will be taken to Iraq. وَهِيَ أَرْضٌ قَدْ إِلْتَقَى بِهَا النَّبِيُّونَ وَأَوْصِيَاءُ النَّبِيِّينَ. And that is a place where prophets have met and the successors of prophets as well have met. This is, inshallah, Allah's point. وَهِيَ أَرْضٌ تُدْعَى عَمُرَى. There's a land called Amura, one of the lands, one of the names of Karbala. And look at this. وَإِنَّكَ تُسْتَشْهَدُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَشْهَدُ مَعَكَ جَمَاعَةٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِكَ. You will be martyred in it and a group of your companions will be martyred there as well. لَا يَجِدُونَ أَلَمَ مَسِّ الْحَدِيدِ. That is to say, and they will not feel the pain of the touch of iron, of the swords in their bodies. At that point, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi recites, وَقُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. This is from the Holy Prophet himself. That is to say, that this pain, they won't feel it, just like Allah made that fire for Ibrahim alayhi salam cold and pleasant. They won't feel that. This is one of the gifts of Allah Azza wa Jalla to them. They will die. Their blood is going to be spilled. They will be amputated. However, they won't feel that pain. And that is to say, يكون الحرب بردا وسلاما عليك وعليهم. The war, which is your fire, it is going to be cold and pleasant for you and for them. فَأَبْشِرُوا اللَّهِ لَإِنْ قَتَلُونَا فَإِنَّا نَرَدُّ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا فَإِنَّا نَرِدُّ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا. So then the Imam tells them, after finishing the quotation from the Holy Prophet, then have glad tidings. So when we are martyred, we will meet the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. According to some, of course, accounts as well, This is due to their shawq, their longing, their yearning to meet Allah Azza wa Jal, to go to the Akhirah, to be free from the bounds and from the locks of shackles of this world. This is another explanation for this as well. If we end this matter, then we find that this is the final bala of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the fire. He was martyred in that fire, but he had this karama as well. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was thrown and cast into that fire. It was bard and salama for him as well. However, he was not killed in it. So again, the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It was higher. His sacrifice was higher. And at that point, Allah Azza wa Jal, he tells him, قَالَ إِنِّي جَعَلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. That is to say, I will make you an imam for the people. However, our Imam alayhi salam, he was an imam from when? Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, imamani qama aw qa'ada. From the beginning, from when they were one, they were still children. Ibrahim alayhi salam, after all of these bala'at, he became the imam. After all of these trials. Our Imam alayhi salam, the Holy Prophet says, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, there are two imams, whether they stand, arise, or they sit down. They are imams. So from that time and from the beginning. What is the meaning of a prophet? What is the meaning of an imam? And how does it compare? This is something that, inshallah, if Allah Azza wa Jal gives the tawfiq, inshallah, maybe you hear it from somebody else. Inshallah, you can research into it. With this, we end this discussion that we had started a few days ago. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the tawfiq to understand the true sacrifice that our Imam alayhi salam made. With one sentence that I would like to end, is that I was talking about our Imam alayhi salam during all this time because of the fact that when he was martyred, a person with all of this, with all of this, these qualities and such a high rank, he was martyred and his blood was spilt and his family and his 6-month-old infant child. Why? So that the true message of Islam would reach us. Why? So that we could purify our nafs. So why? So that we would understand who the Imam is. Him or our 12th Imam, Ajal Allah Ta'ala Faraj Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So that we could truly understand Islam. My dear brothers and sisters, to come to the center, to come to the Imam Bara once or every now and then, and just to cry and to go back, not to have any change, I advise you, the Imam is not in need of you, neither your tears. Because the skies cried for the Imam, the angels cried for him, and all creatures cried for him. Even his horse cried for him. Please, he is not in need of this. He's in need of work. His grandson, our Imam, has been in Ghaiba for over 1,100 years. That's because me and you are sleeping. He has been in Ghaiba because we're not doing anything. We've come to this country, we try to laugh at ourselves, that we are still practicing, we're still going to the center, and we're still practicing our religious rites. And alhamdulillah, that is what is required of us. Excuse me, no. You're mistaken. You have far grander responsibilities. You have to do Amr al-Maruf and Nahy al-Munkar. You have to start by yourself. You have to apply that message of Islah. We go to Karbala on the 11th after the Zawal of the day of the 11th of Muharram, after the Dhuhr time. The cursed Ibn Sa'd, he takes the captives of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. He takes them to the city of Kufa. And when the daughters of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, they entered the city of Kufa, these daughters of the Imam, who when the Imam was alive, they were the daughters of the respected and the honored Amir al-Mu'mineen, and they were all protected and covered. Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, when she was in Kufa living there during the time of her father, she was respected and venerated by all. But how do they enter al-Kufa after Karbala? I ask you, O Shia.
Ladies, they entered Karbala without any veils on their faces. According to some narrations, they were made to walk barefoot as well. They were brought on saddle, on camels, and on animals without any saddles. And they were marched with the heads of the shuhada around them and in front of them, so that people could look at the heads and they would also look at these women. And at that, the peoples in the city, their residents, they started to look at them. Umm Kulthum alayhi salam, she shouts at them, "O people of Kufa, do you not have any shame before Allah and the Messenger of Allah that you look at his ladies and his daughters?" One of the women of Kufa, she comes and asks, she asks the lady folk, "What captives are you? Why have you been brought from?" What is the answer? "We are the captives of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam." The people of Kufa, when they saw the situation and the children and the ladies that they looked as if they had not eaten, they had not had water. So they started to throw dates at them and to throw food at them. The children, Zainab alayhi salam comes and throws the fruit and the dates away, and she tells them, "O people of Kufa, we are Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Sadaqa is not allowed for us." I asked my Imam Ali alayhi salam, who is buried in one of the parts of Kufa, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, now my lady Zainab alayhi salam only has her hands to cover her face with. Are you pleased, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, that your women folk are taken captive as Banu Harb, as the women folk of the Umayyads and the cursed ones? They are all covered in grace. How can you sleep, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, when your daughters are taken from Kufa to Sham and they are all uncovered? How do you find it, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, when they are whipped with the lashes, O Amir al-Mu'mineen?" And every time they cry after seeing the heads of Imam Hussein and the Shuhada, they are whipped and they are slapped. At that, Zainab alayhi salam would tell the women folk, "Please don't cry. Bear your grief in your heart, my sisters and my daughters. Do not cry." Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam, in the courtyard of Kufa, she explained to them the villainy of Ibn Ziyad al-La'in. As she was speaking to them, she told them, "All praise is due to Allah, and peace and blessings be upon my grandfather and his progeny. O people of Kufa, you are doomed with servitude and humiliation. Woe unto you, O Kufans. Do you know whose heart you have burned? You have burned the heart of the Prophet and the heart of Zahra alayhi salam. Do you know what you have done? Do you know whose blood you've shed, O people of Kufa? Do you know whose sanctity you have violated in bringing his women folk captives, O people of Kufa? And your Lord is waiting to punish you, O people of Kufa." Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, he tells her, "Oh my aunt, you are a learned lady who has not been taught. This is enough." And at that, the people of Kufa started to understand the grandness of what they had done. After that, the daughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Fatima, she addressed them. She praised Allah and sent salam and blessings to her grandfather and his progeny. And then she turned towards the people of Kufa. She told them who she was. She told them of who they had killed. of whose blood they had shed in the land of Karbala. At that point, these people, they started to cry. They told her, enough, enough, O daughter of the pure, we cannot bear more than that. You have burnt our hearts, O daughter. Umm Kulthum alayha salam, she tells them, be silent, O people of Kufa, your men murder us, while your women, they mourn us. How hypocritical you are. The judge between you and us is Allah. And on the day of Qiyamah, O people of Kufa, why did you betray Imam Hussein? Why did you kill him, loot him, and take his women for captives? It is said, it is narrated, when Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, when he was in the court of Ibn Ziyad al-Ain, he asked, who is this? They tell him, this is Ali ibn al-Husayn. The cursed one says, was Ali ibn al-Husayn not killed? Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin says, I had a brother by that name and the people killed him. That cursed one says, but Allah killed him. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, he responds, Allah takes the souls at the time of their death, and those who do not die, he takes them during their sleep. At that, Ibn Ziyad, he became angry and he wanted to kill Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. I tell you, at that point, Zainab alayhi salam, she clings on to Imam Zain al-Abidin and she tells Ibn Ziyad, those people who we have killed from our family are enough for Ibn Ziyad. If you want to kill him, then kill me with him as well, because I can't bear more masaib, Ibn Ziyad. And she hugs Imam Ali Zain al-Abidin. When Ibn Ziyad, that cursed one, looks at them, he says, I looked at them for a span of time, but I saw how blood relations are, and I saw them how sad and grieved they looked. So I left them. I tell you, this last musibah, look at this. This mal'oon, this cursed Ibn Ziyad, wanted to burst and to hurt and to grieve the heart of Rabab, the wife of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So he asked, oh Rabab, oh Rabab, whose head is this? She does not respond the first time. He asks her, whose head is this the second time? She does not respond. Then he tells her, by the right of Allah over you, oh Rabab, tell me whose head is this? And then she says, this is the head of my Mawla Abu Abdullah. And life has no good after him. And then Rabab alayhi salam, she takes the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, she puts it on her lap and she kisses him. She says, oh Hussein, I have not forgotten. Hussein, Hussein. Have the spears of the enemies targeted him and targeted him? They left him killed in Karbala. May Allah never make it rain in the land of Karbala. You want to listen to this to see what happened at that. Ibn Ziyad al-Lain, he ordered some of his villains to take the head from Rabab, but she refused to give the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Then they whipped her with their lashes and they started to hit her and they took the head from her. And then Zainab alayhi salam, she asked Rabab, "Oh Rabab, why did you do such a thing? Look at this, this will break your heart." Rabab alayhi salam, she says, "Oh my lady, oh Sayyida Zainab, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he came to bid farewell to his women folk and to his children, I felt shy, so I did not go to the Imam. I stayed in my tent. I was feeling shy. But when the Imam was martyred, my heart was burnt with griefness, with grieving and sadness, because I didn't go to bid him farewell. But when I saw the head of my Mawla Imam Hussein alayhi salam, I wanted to kiss him instead of not bidding, having bid farewell to him." This is Zainab, and before at the courtyard of her house. This is Zainab, and before at the courtyard of her house. At the courtyard of her house, delegations would come. Although today the orphans are surrounding her, today how, O people, do the villains give charity to her? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ala bayti Muhammadin ayyamun qalbi yanqalibun. والعاقبة للمتقين. Let us recite the dua to be recited in this kind of time. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا يا الله. Oh Allah, make us from the soldiers of our 12th Imam, ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us the true followers of Imam Hussein, ya Allah. O Allah, forgive us and accept our amal, ya Allah. O Allah, forgive us and fulfill our hajat, ya Allah. O Allah, cure our sick and give us long health and age, ya Allah. Allah, O Allah, give us this age with the tawfiq of your ta'at and your... O Allah, bless our marhumeen. O Allah, lift our calamities from Shias in Iraq, Syria, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bahrain, Hijaz, Yemen, Lebanon, and all other parts of the world, ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect our maraji, prolong their age, and give them more tawfiq, ya Allah. O Allah, protect our shrines and the shrines of the Imams, ya Allah. O Allah, destroy the takfiri enemies of the Imams and their Shias, ya Allah. O Allah, send the thawab of this majlis to our marhumeen, along with Surah Al-Mubarakat Al-Fatiha and three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allah. Allah.